Welcome to Living Downstream, the Environmental Justice Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Mencher. Earlier this season, we brought you the story of civilian workers at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida who tested the defoliant Agent Orange during the Vietnam War. Today, these workers are in their 70s and 80s and suffer from the same diseases that Vietnam veterans claim were caused by their exposure to the herbicide. While surviving veterans receive disability benefits as a result of their exposure, these civilian workers do not. Earlier this year, NPR's midday show Here and Now featured our story of the civilian workers at Eglin. That broadcast has prompted more individuals to come forward who say they, too, are suffering medical problems caused by exposure to Agent Orange at Eglin. The story also sparked interest by law firms in a potential class action on behalf of those affected. John Kalish reports.
81-year-old Von Jones served in the military before the Vietnam War. When he was discharged, he went to work at Eglin Air Force Base, where his duties included working on the Agent Orange testing program.
We got sprayed before the Viet Cong got sprayed.
In 2011, Jones was diagnosed with lymphoma, one of more than a dozen diseases that the VA presumes are the result of Agent Orange exposure. Vietnam veterans can collect disability benefits for the so-called presumptive diseases. Jones seems to have beaten his lymphoma, but he's still plagued by skin cancer, which is not on the VA's list of presumptive diseases, but is nevertheless suspected of having a link to the herbicide.
I've had melanoma cancer on my back. I've had melanoma off of my head. There's a big hole up there. Look like I've been hit with a baseball bat. Every time I go to the doctor, they cut something off my lip and my nose.
If Von Jones had been exposed to Agent Orange while he was still in the military, he might be able to collect a disability pension and receive free medical care. But because his exposure happened while he's working for a military contractor and not for the military itself, well, he's out of luck. My inquiries to the administration at Eglin Air Force Base and the office of the Secretary of the Air Force about the plight of the civilians involved in Agent Orange testing were met with nothing more than website links, including one for a podcast on the history of the defoliation program.
So what was the end result? The exposure of enemy positions, enemy base camps, destruction of crops, exposure of crossing points and transportation routes on the trail in Laos. It was an extremely successful program.
Operation Ranch Hand, as the defoliation program was known, may have been successful at depriving the enemy of jungle cover in Vietnam, but its impact on soldiers and civilians alike begs for a more sober assessment. The civilian employees who tested Agent Orange at Eglin worked for the Vitro Corporation, which was later acquired by a UK-based multinational defense contractor called BAE Systems. BAE has not responded to repeated requests for an interview or statement about the plight of the former Vitro workers. Lawyers for the Vitro workers will not name the Air Force as a defendant in their planned class action lawsuit. Instead, they'll sue BAE Systems and the chemical companies that made Agent Orange. Attorney Victor Yannicone says the plaintiffs will now include neighbors of the massive Air Force base, which straddles three counties in the Florida Panhandle.
All we're asking for in this lawsuit is that these residents and these workers get the same benefits that the Vietnam combat veterans now get. Vietnam veterans, if they qualify by suffering from one of a number of presumptive diseases, will receive veterans' pensions and unlimited medical care and treatment. The same should be offered to the civilian workers and the residents in the surrounding region, who were just as poisoned.
The Department of Veterans Affairs, once known as the Veterans Administration, is currently paying disability benefits to more than 377,000 veterans suffering from conditions presumed to be the result of Agent Orange exposure. More than 10,000 of those vets are said to be service members who were exposed outside Vietnam or at unknown locations. The veterans collecting Agent Orange disability benefits are suffering from more than a dozen diseases that medical authorities recognize are the result of exposure to dioxin, a highly toxic compound that contaminated Agent Orange. These include such cancers as leukemia, soft tissue sarcoma, and lymphoma, as well as other diseases including diabetes, neuropathy, and liver disease. There's a legal strategy behind the move to include neighbors of the Air Force Base as plaintiffs. Now the lawyers are alleging that not only were the vitro workers exposed during test sprays, but the tests contaminated drinking water. And as more alleged victims of Agent Orange at Eglin Air Force Base come forward, it's becoming apparent that they may have been exposed in other ways as well. Civilian and military personnel claim they were exposed to Agent Orange by swimming, eating contaminated fish, and doing the dishes.
If I had my way today, I would have been in bed. Some days I just cannot get out of bed.
This is 82-year-old Penny Davidson, who worked for Vitro at Eglin's Chemical Biological Laboratory in the early 1960s. She is not a well woman.
I have fibromyalgia, I have peripheral neuropathy, autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis.
On one occasion, Davidson says she was outdoors during a spray test and the shifting wind brought a mist of the herbicide that covered her and others from the lab. But Davidson believes her more consistent contact with Agent Orange occurred indoors.
I had contact with Agent Orange every day, all day. My job at the end of every day was to wash all the glassware.
The glassware
had Agent Orange in it. As they finished with them in the lab, they took them up to the sink, and my job was to wash those every day. And I washed them just with soap and water, no gloves, just washed them and rinsed them, let them air dry.
After Davidson left her job at Eglin, she became a nurse, and for 50 years she worked at area hospitals. She liked working in the emergency room because it was always something new. One day, a man named Warren Russell came in the ER. He had worked at Eglin, and his wife, Cynthia, used to work at the lab Davidson had worked in. In May, Cynthia Russell's obituary appeared in a local newspaper. It made a point of mentioning her work with Agent Orange and referred to Eglin as the most heavily sprayed area on Earth. Skeptics of the claims that the Air Force defoliation program has had health and environmental repercussions say dioxin degrades when it's exposed to light. But veterans who served at Eglin in the years after the test spraying program and the war were over insist the herbicide was still in the environment. A former Army Ranger who believes his prostate cancer was caused by Agent Orange declined to be interviewed on tape. Here, an actor relays what the Ranger told me on the phone and via email.
We were assigned to the Ranger Training Battalion and rotated between three Ranger training camps, including one at Eglin Air Force Base. Between 1973 and 1975, we were at Eglin all over an area right near where they sprayed. There were between 120 and 150 guys in our Ranger company who spent a month at a time there for a total of 6 or 7 months, basically living off the land and crawling around in that stuff.
I spoke to three other vets who were stationed at Eglin but never served in Vietnam. They filed disability claims for diseases the VA presumes are caused by Agent Orange exposure. William A. Farr Jr., who had been a weather equipment technician at Eglin from 1974 to 1976, says his lymphoma was caused by drinking water and eating fish caught on Eglin's grounds. Last year, Farr won what he described as a years-long battle for Agent Orange disability benefits. Another vet served at Eglin between 1975 and 1979. He claims his diabetes was caused by Agent Orange exposure at Eglin. He too thinks eating fish caught at the base and swimming in a lake there are likely causes of his exposure, along with his work laying a foundation and surveying land.
I had on a short sleeve shirt, no gloves. I was handling it. I was standing in it with vapors coming off the stubble. I was breathing it, and we ate lunch right there. I was just sitting on the ground.
This is an Alabama veteran named Russell McNeely, who was talking about his work hauling vehicles that had been demolished in target practice by Air Force bombers. He believes the wrecked vehicles and the surrounding area had been sprayed with a defoliant. McNeely served at Eglin for most of 1972 and 1973. He told me he was ordered to spray a defoliant on brush growing around the compound where he worked at Eglin using a hand sprayer with a leaking nozzle. McNeely says his body reacted quickly to the defoliant he came in contact with out on the bombing range.
Over the weekend, I broke out in a rash, and I fought that for 20 years.
McNeely says the rash spread to his feet, groin, upper arm, and hand. Rashes are a common symptom of dioxin exposure. McNeely, who is now 66, says that when he applied for disability benefits this spring, he was suffering from a number of the so-called presumptive illnesses, including heart disease, arthritis, and an autoimmune disorder. He assumes that his initial application for disability benefits will be rejected and seems prepared for a lengthy appeals process. This is the sound of a C-123 taking off. C-123s were used to spray Agent Orange in Vietnam, but after the war, they were used for medical and cargo missions back in the U.S. In 2015, reservists who maintained or served as air crew on C-123s here in the U.S. became qualified for disability benefits. Retired Air Force Major Wesley T. Carter, who led the fight for benefits, says several hundred C-123 crew members who served solely in the U.S. are now receiving medical care and other disability benefits. Carter won benefits for one of the cancers presumed to be a result of contact with Agent Orange. It's worth noting here that these C-123 crew members are not full-fledged veterans of the armed forces, and their exposure to Agent Orange pales in comparison to the way the former Vitro workers were doused with the herbicide. Yet they are being compensated for diseases linked to Agent Orange. The Vitro workers are not. We've heard about how Agent Orange may have affected human beings, both civilian workers and military personnel at Eglin Air Force Base. Now we're going to learn about how the spraying may have affected plants and animals. One Panhandle resident who has hunted in an area of the sprawling Eglin base for decades told me that during the spraying, he noticed the deer had all but disappeared. Another resident told me that animals taken from Eglin to a local wildlife refuge suffered from rare cancers. And one of the former Vitro workers says the herbicide tests affected his farm. He's one of the men who worked for Vitro but also farmed on the side. His name is Bobby Collinsworth.
I've worked at Eglin Air Force Base 34 years, and I've farmed 21 of those years. I was farming cotton, soybeans, corn, and anything that we could make a dollar out of.
When Collinsworth worked at Eglin, he helped operate the huge film cameras documenting the aerial spray tests. He told me that at some point in the late 1960s, Agent Orange drifted about 12 miles from the test area at Eglin to his farm, where he was growing cotton.
The balls would just swivel up and just fall off.
Collinsworth said the same thing happened to his uncle's cotton crop, which was less than a mile away.
They finally found out that it was Agent Orange that was getting to us. And I lost a whole crop. I had about 75 acres of cotton, and we lost it all. We stopped growing cotton.
And was the fact that you lost your cotton crop a factor in deciding not to grow cotton anymore?
Yes. We couldn't afford to live no more.
You were worried that it would happen again?
Yeah. We didn't want to take that chance.
Collinsworth is one of some 40 former Vitro workers who are still alive and allege they were harmed by their exposure to Agent Orange. Now 80, he suffers from a heart ailment, arthritis, and skin cancer. Collinsworth is hoping that a lawsuit recovers damages for the survivors of men who worked for Vitro at Eglin Air Force Base and later died.
I'm not really worried about myself. But some of my buddies that's dead and gone, we've lost a lot of people. Good people. Yes, sir.
The lawyer who's representing the elderly Vitro workers is Rustin Sanders, a solo practitioner in Florida. Sanders was approached by one of the former Vitro workers who watched him win a criminal trial. That man is Von Jones, who already had a sense of what kind of uphill battle the aging Vitro workers were facing before he found Rustin Sanders.
I give up a number of times. I talked to a number of lawyers, probably 50, 60 lawyers. Sorry we can't help you, you know. I thank the good Lord all the time for Mr. Yannickon and Rustin. They give me hope again. After all these times that I've give up and said, that's it, I'm not doing anything else.
Known to many of his clients as Rusty, Sanders grew up in Louisiana and has deep empathy for his blue-collar clients, patriotic men who feel that, like the Vietnam veterans, they were sprayed and betrayed.
These men, they're not in good health. We've lost three men here in the last few months. They don't have time.
Sanders has been working with Victor Yannickon, who filed the original class action against the chemical companies that manufactured Agent Orange in 1979. Sanders and Yannickon say that as solo practitioners, they don't have the deep pockets needed to pursue a toxic tort against the well-funded defense their opponents are sure to mount. Yannickon and Sanders have had discussions with four different law firms interested in helping them bring this legal action in the months since NPR's Midday News magazine, Here and Now, aired a segment on the former Vitro workers.
As we all know, the toxic chemical caused devastating health consequences for millions, the Americans serving in Vietnam and the Vietnamese on the ground. What's not known is civilians working stateside were also exposed, among them the workers at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida.
Attorney Victor Yannickon has written a 260-plus page complaint to be filed in federal court in Florida. He says it will include what he calls explosive material, material obtained during discovery in the Agent Orange class action Yannickon pursued for Vietnam veterans more than 30 years ago. The documents were ordered sealed by a federal judge in New York when the suit was settled in 1984, but Yannickon says he'll make the documents part of the permanent public record when the class action is filed on behalf of the former Vitro workers. 10 years before he filed the Agent Orange class action, Victor Yannicone litigated the DDT ban in the late 1960s. As a cross-examiner of scientific and medical witnesses, Yannicone is regarded as peerless. Yannicone told Living Downstream that Agent Orange and its toxic contaminant dioxin have made their way down to the region's aquifer, the underground source of drinking water beneath Eglin, which covers close to a 500,000 acres.
That area overlies the principal aquifer, which supplies drinking water for the Florida Panhandle and part of the surrounding states. That aquifer has been contaminated with those chemicals that were sprayed and tested at Eglin Air Force Base. And this class action includes all those who are so unfortunate as to have been drinking contaminated drinking water from this contaminated aquifer.
Yannicone says he's in possession of evidence that the federal government is aware of the aquifer's contamination, but he refused to specify what the evidence is and where it came from.
I'm not at liberty to talk about my sources. Let's put it this way. If someone should raise that issue on trial, the information will appear.
Yannicone says the former Vitro workers were more heavily exposed and over a longer period of time than Vietnam combat veterans. The lawsuit planned on behalf of the former Vitro workers is almost certainly to be greeted with a defense motion to move the case to the federal court in Brooklyn, where the original Agent Orange class action was heard. Subsequent lawsuits by Vietnamese civilians and American veterans who declined to join the original Agent Orange class action were dismissed by the court in Brooklyn. Yannicone's co-counsel Rusty Sanders says expanding the suit to include neighbors of the Eglin base who allegedly consumed contaminated drinking water would extend the statute of limitations, one of the challenging legal issues of the case.
To the extent that the chemical companies attempt to say, well, this is an antiquated issue and this is something that's resolved itself and too much time has passed. Well, wait a minute. Drinking water is the primary concern around many military installations today. So what about this one, where thousands times the amount of toxins were dumped per a similar size hectare in Vietnam? And so to have a plaintiff situated in an adjoining parcel of land that's within the watershed of the base and gets the drinking water from the aquifer below the base, well then it's a continuing offense.
As I got to know the former Vitro workers, I was struck by the irony of their devotion to a government that some would argue has let them down. The man at the head of that government has shown little interest in regulating environmental poisons, like the ones that are allegedly killing them. But he's still their hero.
I love the man. He errs on the side of the people, and that's what I think. And I believe he loves America. And that's what we need, is someone that will take care of us.
That sense that the president or the military is taking care of us is palpable in the Florida Panhandle. On my second trip to the area, it begins to dawn on me just how important the armed services are there. At a Starbucks in the town of Crestview, I notice artwork on the wall depicting a fighter pilot's helmet. In an outlet mall in the beach town of Destin, I saw signs in front of stores announcing a special discount for active duty military personnel. And on local TV channels, I watched cell phone commercials talk about how easy it is for parents to keep in touch with kids who've been deployed. The rural areas of the Panhandle north of the Gulf Coast are dotted with small churches, and many a conversation is likely to include a reference to the Good Lord. This is where the late Terrell Gatlin spent his life. Gatlin started working at Eglin in the summer of 1964. When I interviewed him in late January 2018, cancer had ravaged his body.
I'm pretty well eat up with it. In other words, it's everywhere.
Terrell Gatlin died less than a month after I interviewed him. His daughter, Tammy Holcomb, now lives in his home.
I was with him the day that they told us he had cancer. They didn't really expect him to live 6 months, and he lived over 4 years battling the cancer. I sure hope I don't have to die like my daddy died. because that is very hard to watch.
The families of the former Vitro workers are worried that their loved ones' exposure to Agent Orange at Eglin may have a hidden legacy. One worker told me he is racked with guilt that his stepson died from leukemia, one of the presumptive Agent Orange diseases. It turns out Tammy Holcomb's nephew also had leukemia, but that child survived.
Shortly after Daddy found out he had cancer, they found out this little boy had cancer. He was like 7 years old. He had leukemia. He's been cured since then, or in remission, or whatever you call it, but how do we know that wasn't caused by what was passed down to my brother, passed down to his son? I don't know when I get to be my daddy's age if I don't have some type of cancer. How do I know it's not something in me that's going to affect me later on?
Tammy Holcomb sent me a photo of her father taken in the hours before he died. I asked her if it was okay to use it for this story, and she said to go ahead because, in her words, it needs to be seen what happens to a person. I sent her some pictures I took of her father with Von Jones, who brought me to meet her dad. Jones is a devout Christian who's convinced that the former Vitro workers will ultimately receive a measure of justice for what they've endured, whether it's in an earthly court or a heavenly tribunal.
You can rest assured when you meet with the good Lord that he's going to treat you fairly, and every wrong will be righted.
But lawyer Rusty Sanders is determined to win justice for the former Vitro workers in this earthly realm.
We are going to proceed with filing this case because it's the right thing to do. We want compensation, we want to have a deterrent effect, and we want the truth to be told. We want to sue the bastards.
For Living Downstream, this is John Kalish.
The Forgotten Civilians of Eglin Air Force Base, Part 2, was reported and produced by John Kalish. Music for this episode by Charlie Morrow. The Living Downstream theme music was written by David Shulman. Special thanks to actor Mordecai Newman. Engineering support from Anthony Garcia. I'm your host and senior producer, Steve Mencher. Northern California Public Media's news department also includes reporter Adia White. Darren Lachelle is the executive producer, and the president and CEO of NCPM is Nancy Dobbs. Subscribe to Living Downstream wherever you get your podcasts. Visit our website at norcalpublicmedia.org/living. And if you see environmental injustice in your community, write to us at living@norcalpublicmedia.org. Living Downstream thanks our sponsors who make this podcast possible. A list is available at norcalpublicmedia.org. That's it for this season. We've just begun work on a brand new season of Living Downstream.